You only have to ask my beloved wife how good I am at accepting transformations. A few years ago, she eventually managed to persuade me that our rather run-down kitchen did need not just refitting, but actually probably re-gutting and extending. And God graciously provided for us. But I was resistant, I was stubborn, but she persevered. We had a transformation. But also, Massimo will tell you, if he was here, but he's with Dave at New Addington, accompanying and supporting him, that through the Get Active gym, we've seen some transformations. But perhaps not quite as dramatic the transformations have been as perhaps this gentleman here, which I found, I'm assured that it is real, but pretty big transformations. Or this lady, and we've got some statistics, which I love a good bit of statistics about body fat and various other things there. But it's not just necessarily the body, but maybe follically, in other words, hair could be transformed. So we have a transformation there. Those are physical transformations. They're transformations that focus on the external. Yes, internally perhaps, especially the bodies may well be changing as well. But we're going to be focusing today on spiritual change, spiritual transformation. And looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our series, we're going to be thinking about transformation through the Holy Spirit. We're going to be using Galatians 5 and verses 16 to 26. But just to give a tiny bit of context before Liz comes and reads our passage. In the first section of Galatians 5, Paul has just written about Christ setting us free from the slavery of sin, but that this freedom shouldn't be abused, as he basically was hearing that some in the Galatian church were doing. And he now comes on to the second half of Galatians 5, where he speaks of the transformation through the Holy Spirit's work that we as Christians can experience.
Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned those before you, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Thanks, Liz. So, in the early part of the passage, in verse 17, Paul sets out the conflict between the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. And then in verse 18, he boldly says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. An amazing transformation of position and purpose.
Paul now reveals that it's possible for free people in Christ to allow the Holy Spirit to lead them and to win that conflict over our selfish and sinful desires. It's possible to act in the Spirit's power to love others as Christ loves us. When we do love others in that way, we have no need of the law. None of its rules and regulations matter. Our words, actions, and even thoughts will be born out of our love for God and for others. Free people in Christ can and should use their freedom in this way, Paul says. But what is this transformation through the Holy Spirit? Firstly, Paul speaks about the Holy Spirit transforming our works. In verses 19 to 21, Paul gives a pretty lengthy list, and in different translations, they'll use different words, and it's not supposed to be an all-encompassing list, because you can see the little caveat at the end, okay, of it, okay, and things like these. It's not supposed to be all-encompassing. But this is practices that our sinful nature would naturally gravitate towards. Initially, I thought it would be helpful to sort of give you a list of the work and a sort of contrasting thing. But A, I thought that would be extremely long-winded. And I think it's something that we can each do ourselves if we want to sort of reflect on, okay, the works of the flesh and the potential works, well, not just potential, but real works of the Holy Spirit. But for most of us, it's obvious what the godly, holy alternative should be. But I did find one quite helpful little table that sort of gives some contrasts. And not perfect, but it is quite a nice little table that gives some contrasts as to flesh, works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. It may be a bit small to read, I apologise if that is the case. But what it's basically saying, this table, is that the works of the flesh can be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit changing the desires of the flesh to the desires of the Spirit, to the desires that are holy, that are good, that are godly. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the works of the flesh. The exciting thing is that God promises those who are filled with the Spirit and humbly submit to his work, the Spirit's work, that these transformative works will happen. And I was, for each of my two main points, wanting just a little picture. And the picture for the first one was a house clearance. You have these programs, okay, which go in and transform houses and they rip out everything and hopefully put in good things in their place. And I just had the picture that God says, I want to take out, remove the works of the flesh. But I don't want you then to be a vacuum, empty. I want to fill you with works and desires of the Spirit. But the people that are on these programs have to have invited the program maters into the house and allowed them in. And there might be reluctance to begin with, or resistance, or there might be worry about what is happening. But they will quite often have a skip or something outside, that things will be turfed into the skip. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to turf into the skip the works of the flesh, and to transform them by the works of the Spirit into, okay, the work, by the transforming work of the Spirit into works of the Spirit. But okay, we are human, and we need to be aware of our tendencies. Our tendencies can be to do a half-hearted job and say, thus far and no further. I wonder whether that's you with the works of the Spirit. I wonder whether that's me with works of the Spirit. It may be that there are certain rooms that you're happy to have decluttered, but others you say, no. It might be parts of your life that you say, oh yeah, I'm happy for you to be in that part of my life, transforming it. But thus far and no further. Or perhaps things have been turfed out into the skip, but you're like a sort of skip surfer. You go back and look at it and say, that looks quite good, actually. I'll take it back in. My beloved wife is a skip surfer sometimes for finding things for activities. But let's not be skip surfers ourselves in taking back in things that God has said, no, these are works of the flesh. They do not belong in your life where the transformative work of the Spirit has and is occurring. So the first thing to say is, let's say goodbye to the works of the flesh, not in our own strength, but in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that Paul was encouraging the Galatian church and encouraging us to take on board. But then, if we go back to the list, you can see on the right-hand side, he gives another list, a less lengthy list of fruit of the Spirit. Now, you'll have probably heard lots of people say, it is one fruit. That's because it's coming from one person, the Spirit. Right? It is not sort of an apple, orange, etc., that you pick off and pick and choose what you'd like, etc. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit. And he transforms us, not just in, if you like, our works, but in the character. And if you look at the list of the fruit of the Spirit, they're almost more like character traits, aren't they, rather than things you do, although you can make them actions if you wish to. But they are character traits. They are indwellings, if you like, of the Spirit. And they contrast with ours. Okay? So, okay? Another little picture is, okay, rooms with air freshener, and I'm going to come to that in a moment. But I just want to, first of all, very briefly contrast the fruits of the Spirit with what I'll call the fruits or characteristics of the flesh. So we've got love. And I just contrast that perhaps with self-centeredness. But again, you could choose alternative ones. It's quite a nice exercise to do and say, what would I choose as a contrast rather than, well, Neil's done it for me. Joy. Well, yes, it could be unhappiness, but it could be anger or whatever. Peace versus anxiety. Patience versus impatience, lacking grace, however you would like to put it. Kindness versus selfishness. Goodness versus dwelling on evil. Faithfulness versus unreliability. Gentleness versus harshness. Self-control versus inability to resist temptation. Again, you could think of an alternative contrast. But what are we thinking about this morning? We are thinking about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He desires to transform those, if you like, fruit of the flesh into fruit of the Spirit. And again, I had a second little picture that I wanted to share. It was of a house again, and deliberately, when I was just praying about little pictures, got something about a house. And instead, this time, it's got lots of rooms. Now, I was thinking that those rooms could represent parts of our life. And that's one way that we could look at it. But in another sense, also, I was thinking actually about these different aspects of the one fruit of the Spirit. In that, let's imagine that in the hallway, there is a very strong, pungent air freshener put. Now, if all the rooms had their doors fully shut, then let's ignore seepage under the doors, etc. But there will be very little fragrance getting into the rooms. Right? However, if let's say one door is opened, and that door was the door of love, right? Fragrance seeps in. Then another door's open, and so on. The impact of the fruit of the Spirit and the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit start to permeate the whole house, but also they permeate in terms of they bring a freshness. And God wants to say to each one of us, one, admit me into all parts of your life. But two, admit the Holy Spirit and his transforming power with every aspect of the fruit. Every aspect of the fruit. I've highlighted in red those fruit. And I'd encourage you just to think. It's very easy to think, well, I'm doing pretty well with that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. I've let that fruit, that aspect grow. We have a game at home that I really enjoy called Ingenious. If you haven't come across it, it's a wonderful game. But the scoring is slightly unusual in that instead of measuring the furthest forward, you have six little pegs and your score is actually the one that is furthest back and you're trying to get that one as far forward as you can. And my challenge to myself and actually to each of us this morning is to actually look at those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit and say, which do I find most challenging that I need to bring forward? Because it may be that you feel, okay, I feel that God has worked on this aspect, but still I need to, if you like, let the fragrance more, open the door more fully to let the fragrance in, okay, in this, the patient's room or whatever. And I just want to encourage you to allow the transformation of the Holy Spirit, okay, to occur in all those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, not just the ones that you feel, well, that's not sorted, but I feel I have seen real progress in God's work in my life. But finally, because we are looking at this passage in the light of the Spirit's work, let's look at the beginning, towards the beginning and end, in terms of what is our part. And what we actually see is our part is various phrases involving the Spirit. And I don't know if you picked them up as Liz read them through. And I want to encourage you to think, am I ready to work with the Spirit? First of all, walking by the Spirit, the opening phrase contained. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Desire that transformative walking by the Spirit. Then in verse 18, it says, being led by the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. So it's not just walking, but looking to the Spirit. And then finally in verse 25, the Spirit occurs two more times. Talks about living by the Spirit, and then finally keeping in step with the Spirit. I'm not going to try and unpack what these different things mean, but you get the tenor. The Spirit is all-encompassing in this passage. The fruit of the Spirit, and then these various walking, being led, living, keeping in step with the Spirit. All of these four involve some action or decision by ourselves to walk with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And if we do that, we are allowing the Spirit to transform us. It may be tough, it may be challenging, but it's also so exciting that God loves us so much to fill us with his transforming Spirit. Let's submit to his house clearance of works of the flesh. Let's allow the fragrance of the fruit of the Spirit to permeate all areas of our life. Let's just have a time of just quiet reflection, and then I'll pray.